Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Chuck Chad Freestyle for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014. Haven't talked to you in a while. Hey, I miss my palindrome zip code of 54914-1945. That just came to me today. Recording again from the New Binary Studio, formerly the Draco Vista Studios. And it is good to talk to you. I should do this more often because as I was jotting down a few things to say, man, the list got long fast. I work all day and I think nothing's really happened. And then, before I know it, a lot has happened over a few days. So let me fill you in. Awesome is having a basement. Saturday, Mr. Michael R. Menengay came over and we did a few things on the house, including spending a lot of money at Fry's. Because he took his subwoofer. We found a nice subwoofer for $89. It sounds really nice. And we hung up my 65-inch two-ton TV. It's only a 65. How can it weigh that much? It's just a beastly thing. But we got that all hooked up, and the only thing we're really doing with it right now is watching Apple TV. I have internet, but I did not do cable, and we did not do phone. So we are going to stick with that plan for a while. I am now caught up on season one of House of Cards. And, we'll start season two and maybe something else. So that's what I wanted to do first, is just kick caught up on some TV. So he also schooled me in how to take care of a pool. I have not done pool maintenance ever. So I didn't know, we had a hot tub, but that's on a little different scale. So there's a few things to take care of. The Sunday, we tried out a new church. A nice, close by Lutheran church. And fortunately, they use the same songbook. But there was one song that I didn't recognize. So always nice to learn new things. The crowd, though, man, not parishioners. That would be Catholic. I'm trying to think what you would call them. Anyway, the other people that were there. Man, they all get into it. They're singing like they were Baptists or something. It was nice. The only time we ever hear people sing like that in Appleton was at the holidays, when everybody knows, Silent Night or something. But no, they were singing all the communion songs. It wasn't... I like that place. We do want to try some others out. But that one is like almost due west from us. But you got to go up and around... because the hill's in the way. I guess we could hike over there, but it would be a little tough on Sunday morning sometimes and might show up a little hot and sweaty. We'll see how that goes. The building is a little more modern. Obviously, we're in Phoenix and everything gets built fast. And probably 90% of it is less than 30 years old. It reminds me of the what we called the North Site. In Appleton, our church had two sites. We had a downtown site, which was the old limestone brick building with the tall steeple and the whole thing. Looks like your typical old church from, it was built in the 1930s, this particular building. And then, you can probably hear Donna talking to her mom in the background. This phone microphone picks up everything. I'm going to have to do one from the big board one of these days. It's staring me right in the face. And the quality would be much better. So I'll get you that. I'll have to get these clips and things all queued up and take care of that. But the north site, the second site we had at the church, it was built around 2000, 2001, I think. New building, with the bright wooden beams inside, nice open airy thing instead of the darker oak colors. But very nice. Nice church. Looked like nice people. Good sounding choir. And again, we'll try it out, but we'll try some others as well. Yesterday for work, my new mission is to roll out a project I've been working on really for over 2 years. When I was first brought on to my previous team, I was asked to pull together all the technical best practices and we could sell them as a package to customers. And train up our employees on them and all this good stuff. And it kind of went in fits and spurts. We did get a customer offering, which hasn't been selling as well as I'd like, but that means I don't have to deliver as many of those workshops as I originally thought, and I can focus on other things. But now that I'm on this team, my focus is to get it into the hands of our technical people. It's all about technical best practices, because when we bring people on board, we teach them how to do a lot of these things with our software. My job is to teach them how to do things right, because, you know, when you're dealing with programming and configurable systems, sometimes there's ways to do things more than one way, and not all of them are always optimal. You may run into performance issues, or you may run into maintainability or upgrade issues. You may run into manageability or even user experience issues. So we've learned a bunch of lessons over hundreds and hundreds of deployments and implementations, and there's right ways and wrong ways to do things. And now we're looking at making this mandatory. Few people have pursued it on an elective basis. They say, hey, I'd like to do that. So I say, good, go watch these videos that Chuck made and then take the test. Well, now there's going to be a hands-on component to it, and it's hopefully, as soon as senior management approves it, it will be mandatory that we get people doing this. So it'll be part of the whole onboarding learning process. You go to this class, you take that, you study this, you shadow that person, you go do a few months experience, and then you come back and take the test and watch the videos and do the whole thing, and bada boom, bada bing, you've got another accreditation, you know, kind of a badge, something you can check off and say, I do this and I do this right. So looking forward to that. It's got some legs. My boss said, we want to make sure we deploy this properly. I said, well, what have you got in mind? He said, well, here's what we don't want to do, and here's some things we do want to do. And he said, can you get me that by the end of the week? End of the week? What you just told me is probably about 4 hours worth of work. So I put a draft together for him with the timeline and the resources, and really didn't take all that long. I can't. Every day, when somebody says they expect something to take long and you do it quickly, it either means you're really good at it or you miss the mark by a mile. So I'm a little nervous about that. Well, I sent him a draft, and he's going to look it over and before we give it to the director. So we'll see how that goes. But I am a little bit nervous about that one. We also, last night, Donna and I tried out the seafood place. I had been there with Michael and his wife, Lori. Oh, gosh. When was that? Was it with Lisa at Christmas time? No, it wouldn't have been with Lisa because she doesn't like seafood. It wasn't with January when I came back. Oh, it must have been in June when I was here. And so I took Donna there. I said, this is really good. It's really close. And she likes seafood. This is not your Red Lobster. This is like a mom and pop Mexican place that, Donna got kind of this variety plate with fish and shrimp and the shrimp wrapped in bacon and a little of everything. And I got what I got last time, which was the camarones bacanores, which is this creamy sauce with smoky bacon flavor stuff in it and shrimp, and it was really good. So I got that again, and we enjoyed it. We had a bunch of leftovers. So I said, we got to do some walking around. So we walked around sort of the little strip mall area nearby, wandered into one of the local grocery stores, and of course, nothing in there is in English. But that was the fun thing. I said, you know what we ought to do is buy up some of these crazy candies and send them to the girls. So we're going to make up a care package with that. She says, why don't you do it tonight? I said, well, because I don't know. I want to look around. There's other stores with other things in them. So we'll do something like that. Send them. I don't know if these things are fruity or chocolatey. You kind of look at the picture and go, I can't read it. And the picture doesn't make any sense because it got a big scary clown on the package or something. It'll be interesting. That's the kind of stuff that you open it up and you try it, and either you go, this is really good, or, oh my gosh, don't give me another one. And you it's funny because you might find it disgusting, and then you hand it to your friend, and they go, oh, I love these. It's funny when you get candies and treats from foreign countries and other parts of the world that you just, some people love them and some people won't. And I guess the same could be said about, you know, when I send things over to other people. We've done that in the past. I sent a package of candy to Richard Vobes and his daughter over in the UK. They sent us some stuff. I know Philip from Australia has sent us some things. Marv has sent us some things. And it's fun to experiment. That's kind of like a cultural exchange. I haven't done that in a while, though, so this is kind of my way of doing that with our girls now that they're both in college and need a care package every once in a while. Donna has been very busy. Even though I'm back in my routine for work, or as close as I can get to it, you know, life sucks working outside in the sun. Well, I'm not in the sun. I'm under a patio thing and sitting next to the pool and listening to the birds going, hey, it's getting later in the fall, and I'm not noticing a thing. This is great. But she's been also very busy doing things of change of address all over the place, getting our records up to date, calling the roofers. We still have the storm damage to deal with. And because there was a lot of storm damage, a lot of people can't even get here for a couple of weeks to give us an estimate. I need that fixed. So she got somebody here today to give us an estimate, and we got a little bit of sticker shock. One of the things that the Allstate adjuster said is don't let them tell you you need a whole new roof. I don't think he looked around well enough. He gave us enough to cover the damages of the few roofing tiles that are off and a couple other things, and actually he was very generous in that respect, but it's nowhere near what it's going to take, because this guy's looking around. He says, you've got the original roofing paper on there, which is single ply cheap stuff. And that's why water is dripping down here, and you're missing this, which is why our soffits are a little, shall we say, in need of attention. But we really, I don't have enough money right now to redo the whole freaking roof. So we need to sell that house in Appleton so we can get some capital for that, so that we can potentially get some solar panels and keep our bills under control. And I'd like to get the new iPhone. So until then, we got to watch our spending like crazy, because it's just, you know, I didn't think I was moving into a fixer-up. There's a lot of lovely things about this house. I mentioned the studio and the living room. The kitchen's all been redone. So internally, it's great. But if you don't have a roof over your head, or your roof leaks like crazy, which fortunately is not doing right now, but we just had like a 100-year flood or 500-year flood, and you know, took some damage from that, and I got to get that fixed up. So what we're thinking is maybe to get the immediate repairs done by the local guy, who I'm now having a hard time getting a hold of, but he said he could do a whole bunch of stuff for cheap, just get us fixed up again, and then come back and do the more drastic repairs once we've sold the house and get the solar panels on and get the whole thing fixed up the way it should be. Because hopefully we won't get another 100-year flood. But you never know with global warming and climate change if we're getting drier or wetter here. Who knows? Had a little bit of an IT adventure at home. Donna was telling me that ever since we moved, she can't send her email. You know, and all I get is I'm watching House of Cards in the other room. Mail's not working. Very intelligent woman, but she doesn't always give you all the information. So I asked her, can you use the web interface? She knows how to go to Google. Our personal domain is hosted on Google. She said, yes. Good. Then it's not Google. It's not your account. It's something on your machine. Can you receive email? Click, click, click. Yes. Can you send email? No. Well, now we're getting closer. We're down to the SMTP settings. Did a little researching at lunch today. And long story short, We deleted the account and recreated it, and Max kind of auto-detect said, oh, it's, you know, Donna at blah, blah, blah. Max auto-detect goes, hey, that's talking to Google, according to the internet records and whatnot that's out there. And it auto-configures it. Well, it auto-configures it wrong. I'm sorry. It set up the SMTP server as smtp.google.com when it should have set it up as smtp.gmail.com. So a whole bunch of searching and reading and testing later, about a half hour's worth, just to flip and get one auto-configured setting correct. So hopefully nobody has to go through that again. And I'm sure I'll have to again forget the settings. What they were at that time. I have downloaded, I upgraded my phone to iOS 8 and I'm discovering some things there. I like the auto completion on the text. That should have been in place a long time ago. I am eager to test the family sharing of photo albums, although I think some of these features really won't come alive until the computers are upgraded to OS 10 Yosemite, which is the next release, which makes iCloud Drive possible. Now that I've got everything over to Google Drive, let's migrate again. No, let's not. The application sharing, I think, is going to be interesting because you can download an application and share it among up to six people in your family. We have three iPhones in our family, so that may work out, but I don't know how much commonality we're going to have among the applications. But I would like to share photo albums. That would be nice. Instead of sticking things in a G Drive or Evernote. And, oh, Evernote. Yes, Evernote came out with a new Mac Major release today, too. Downloaded and upgraded that to, I think it was 5.1 or 5.5 or something. Now it's 5.6. Nice enhancements on the UI. But the upgrade blitzed my preferences. I don't have my default font anymore. I don't have this. I had to redo all the settings and turn on this and turn off that and change the layout of that. I'm like, hey, you know, I've never had that problem with Evernote upgrades before. I am a staunch advocate of Evernote. Love the application. Use it all the time. Probably abuse it a few times too. But that was a nasty upgrade. I don't like surprises like that. Fortunately, I don't have too much in there that too much customization that can't be redone in 10 minutes. But it was just kind of... So I put a comment on their forums. I said, hey, nice features. Love them. Look forward to exploring the rest of them. But leave my preferences alone. You know, I had things set up the way I wanted them set up. Don't turn off things and turn on things. And I guess I'm just being a curmudgeon now. So I look forward to seeing other features in that as well. And iOS 8 seems to be doing all right. A few things got cleaned up. A few things got turned on. We'll let you know as the stuff comes up. I did go through an article online that said 8 useful tips for extending your battery life under iOS 8. Things like turning off the, what do they call that? The little 3D effect on the screen where you tilt the phone and it looks like your tiles are levitating above the background. That's a battery hog. I've turned off a whole bunch of stuff. Auto push notifications on a lot of the applications, location services. You can even turn off LTE and just revert to 4G. Make your data slower. Phone still works great. But if I need fast data, I'll go on Wi-Fi. Or if I'm out on the road. So hopefully it's helping the data consumption, although I've been hanging around the house a lot lately. But my battery, as I mentioned, is psychotic, and I got to get the most life out of this as I can right now so it doesn't just crap out on me at 40% anymore. We'll see what's happening. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I am going to take off. I told you, this was getting a little long because I did not podcast for you since it was a Friday. Sorry about that. But I knew that once I got to the house, it'd be a little less frequent, and I'll try to keep it more frequent, at least a couple times a week. I like talking to you, and I like when you interact with me. You can do so at chuck@chuckchat.com or Facebook me or lots of other places. You know the drill. I don't check Twitter as much as I used to. I seem to gravitate to that around conventions just to keep up on that message. That's about the only time I use Twitter. Otherwise, I find it too difficult to maintain multiple social networks at the same time. So, with the exception of Untappd, if you want to find out what I'm drinking on a regular basis, mostly around beer, UNTAPPD, untappd.com. There's a mobile app, so you check in. It uses Foursquare for its location services. This is not a commercial. It's just, here I am complaining about too many social networks. I'm trying to get you to join another one. Seems like every time I go to San Diego, I get a couple more coworkers on this thing. So I know really well what my coworkers are drinking, including you, Mr. Craig Stepp and Dave Slusher. And instead of liking somebody, you toast them. And of course, you can leave comments and the whole social badges and a whole nine yards. It's a lot of fun. And it also has some good recommendations. If you like IPAs or lagers or whatever, it'll make some recommendations based on your tastes and preferences. So, all right, that's over 20 minutes. I'm going to get out of here. Until next time, 101.